There's no crying in baseball!
You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung in with the best college football team in the land for 2 years!
I said, fuck you, Joe. I do it myself.
In here, there were two guys killing each other. But I guess that's better than 20 million. But what I'm trying to say is that if I can change, and you can change, everybody can change!
Welcome to Montucky Skies, episode 206, I think. I'm Biggs.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Scoop McNary.
Scoop McNary?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Well, I'm a dude named Scoot, which is pretty hard to forget. You may remember me for starring in Monsters, that Gareth Evans movie we did back on in the days. But I am also one of the principal leads on Halt and Catch Fire, an AMC television program.
Is that any good? A program?
It's fine. It's pretty good.
is it among your stories now?
I'm three episodes in. I'm giving it three more. I'm going to need to. It's like, imagine Mad Men if everyone was was way less likable, except the Betty character was far and away the most interesting person on the show.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It doesn't sound great. It's good enough. Some of the characters, Scoot McNary's character is actually really interesting, and his wife is really interesting. The actual computer-related stuff they do on the show is fascinating, but that's only about one-third of the show, and the other two-thirds of the show are the characters acting like sociopaths with no apparent motivation at all. So,
nice.
They need to iron some things out for me to be truly on board with this.
So we were doing the NBA theme there, I just wanted to say. So since our last episode, we now have the Cavaliers and the Warriors in the finals. And I'll be paying a little more attention. I'm really looking forward to this finals. Like, I do feel like it's the best two teams this year. I never really bought into Atlanta. Like, they're good, but there was always a thing of, like, sometimes you need that really great player that can outshine, and
they got somebody who can take a game over.
Yeah, and they got somebody who's now been in five straight finals. Do you know the last time that was done?
Oh, God. I'd have to think at least 20 years, at least.
It was the 60s.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the Celtics, dude. It was probably a number of them. I couldn't tell you which ones, but
I was just thinking maybe there was somebody like a Robert Horry who just happened to hop from team to team at the right time.
No, Horry had some off years there. But yeah, it's been a long time. There's been a long list of like four straight, like with the Pistons, for example. No, the Pistons didn't do it either. Jeez. Okay, so I think the Lakers were probably the last ones, I would guess, to do like four straight because they had the three-peat and then they lost to the Pistons. That's where I was thinking the Pistons.
They got involved somehow.
Yeah, but jeez, dude, it's been a long... That is impressive, man. Yeah. Five straight runs in the finals with two different teams. That's really impressive.
Really impressive.
And I just like to pat myself on the back because I was telling everybody all year that Cleveland would probably win the East. I was like, it'll be Cleveland or Chicago.
And here we are.
But it's most likely Cleveland. Yeah, and here we are. So I told you so.
Yeah, the finals are set for both the NHL and the NBA now.
Yeah, who's in the NHL?
It's Chicago versus Tampa Bay for the Cup.
So Blackhawks.
Yep. And the Lightning.
Right.
But the Blackhawks are just continuing their run of dominance. Basically, this is how their series have shaken out over the past 6 years. Win the cup. Conference final. Conference final. Win the cup. Conference final. Win the conference final and make it to the Stanley Cup final. Like, they're just unbeatable.
Wow. I feel like we're missing a year in that run.
Somewhere, yeah. Okay. Oh, there was the year they reloaded and sold everybody off and still made the fucking playoffs. They sold off like half their roster and still made the playoffs.
So they're kind of like the Yankees of the Stanley Cup.
Except for with a salary cap. It's seriously unfucking believable.
Yeah. So, okay, enough about sports. I just had to get that out there. I wanted it to be noted that I know who's in the finals. I'll be watching, so I'm looking forward to it, man.
Go sports.
Yeah, go sports ball. Teams. Aaron Donaldson has been occasionally throwing out a Go Cavs thing, which makes me really laugh because we had this big long thread about how he was talking about how he heard that the Cavaliers weren't doing so hot even though they got LeBron, because he's like all Cleveland sports he's a fan of. And I was just like, dude, it is way too early to be judging on this stuff. I'm like, it doesn't even really matter their seeding when you have LeBron.
Yeah.
As long as he's bringing it, they're going to go far in the playoffs. So I was vindicated there. Which, by the way, Aaron Donaldson has this great, like, passive-aggressive thing that he does when he knows he's out of his element with, like, basketball or anything. Because he's a football guy. Like, he doesn't follow basketball. He starts yelling the ghost sports and stuff like that. So, it's really funny. And that we are talking, of course, about Aaron Donaldson of the That's Debatable and the Alien Project. Yeah, Alien Movie. I always forget the movie part.
I don't, because it spells AMP, that's right. Which makes me really happy.
I knew where you were going with that.
It sounds like an energy drink, and I like it.
We're going to be doing this Not Safe for Network thing. I've been trying to think of like ways we're going to podcast, because Aaron was on We Had a Good Life, the episode before last with Kate. And he was saying that we were going to do this ad hoc.
Ad hockery.
Yeah, some ad hockery. And I was like, no, I'm trying to plan it out. Like, he doesn't understand how anal retentive I am. So I was thinking, like, maybe we could do podcasts, put our names in a hat, and just decide who's to
drive rosters.
Yeah.
I don't know. We could all drink for a while and then wander drunkenly to the Myrna and set up a bunch of mics on stage and just try to get 30 people talking and see what happens.
Just accumulate 22 more people on our way.
Just pick up a bunch of... We'll stop by Jester's. We'll find some folks there.
There is a thing about Rodney Street that if somebody has the keys to a neighborhood thing at the J Bar, like...
It's like being
Pied
Piper.
You will get a lot of stragglers.
Yeah, so you become the Pied Piper and you just lead a string of drunken hobos down to wherever you're going. It's pretty great.
Yeah. So what have you been up to, Brandon?
I have been just mulling through my mind Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah!
I've been doing the same thing with Kung Fury.
And I was really disappointed. I was missing the extravaganza with Mad Max last week.
Brandon, I'm going to pitch an idea. Here's what's going to happen. When we're done with Skies today, we're going to get some silver spray paint. We're both going to huff the shit out of it, and we're just going to talk for an hour about Mad Max.
I feel like you guys could do that without the spray paint.
No, it ties into the movie, man. You got to look shiny and chrome when you enter Valhalla, the god of the V8.
You know what's really like interesting about that is this week they got on Amazon, and they have a cake spray that's silver. Oh, so god. All the war boys like put like... customer reviews for the spray paint. It's like, this will make me look glorious for Valhalla.
Nice.
Oh, it's so magical. I love the freaking V8 mad, gang sign.
Is it mad magical?
It is mad magical. If I was a hacky reviewer, that would have been the title of my review.
Are you calling me hacky?
No.
You're right on that point.
I'm not calling you hacky so much as saying that every now and then, even the best of us get hacky. I just love that they even had a little gang sign for their religion, their god of the V8 sign. Like, everything about it is so great.
I feel like Brandon must feel like when we're talking about Mad Men, because we once again, we know Mad Men and Mad Max totally
tie together.
That's right. Forever linked.
Mad Max takes place in the future year of 2015 in the Mad Men universe.
That's right. Yeah, that's what happens eventually. Dude, you can't even imagine what Joan is wearing. What year does Mad Max take place in now?
I was actually looking at a timeline the other day.
They would be better off to never deal with timelines.
I mean, the timeline is irrelevant. It's a fan-made timeline. I don't know that there's an in-universe timeline. It sort of like, listen, it fits together. Don't think about it too much. But from the timeline I read, this fan-made timeline, it puts Beyond Thunderdome in 2015. So the question then is, where does Fury Road fit? Because it's somewhere between the first one and Beyond Thunderdome. And I've heard both ways where it fits in relation to the Road Warrior. And we know that Thunderdome is about 20 years after the Road Warrior. So that would put Road Warrior right around 95 or so. Or I mean, after Mad Max, the original Road Warrior is about 2 to 5 years after Mad Max, give or take a little bit. So that would put Road Warrior right around 2000 or so, maybe a little less. So it takes place sometime in the mid 2000s, I would guess. Fury Road does sometime
future
in there.
Year of
the future year of 2008.
I always love that when they do the future year and totally screw it up. Because they're just not willing to, I don't know.
I
guess eventually all of those will
I
be
enjoy
off.
Any movie where we've passed the future year of. Yeah. That's what really gets me going. Future year of 1993.
It really says a lot about 1984 that book is still going strong. Yeah.
Yes, it does.
But they kind of nailed so much of that book that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, God, every year that goes by, that book gets more relevant. That's insane.
Double plus ungood.
Yeah, it's insane how relevant that book continues to be. I just read 1984.
I mean, we really are. We're probably a good 18 months away from Thought Crimes being outlawed.
Yeah. We couldn't be that far off.
I was just reading an article today online about North Korea's big plan for developing tourism to their
country. Oh, God. Is it the unicorns? Because if not, then their big plan is wrong. It's just objectively
it needs more
wrong.
They need to go in with that Swedish company Laser Unicorns and develop something. I'm convinced they could come up with something that make me want to see North Korea.
So what are they doing to bump tourism?
Really promoting, like, the neighboring countries like China.
That's the best thing. Here's our tourism department. Come here because we're close to the stuff you actually want to see.
Guess what? South Korea so dialed in with Wi-Fi. We totally get all of that. You just have to figure out the password. Just, some of them they don't even protect.
Just stand near the border and wait until one pops up. So wait, they're bumping tourism by telling people about the stuff that's not happening in their country?
Well, they're telling them, like, we've really softened the regime so much.
The glorious leader is much more kind and merciful than his predecessors. He will let you accurately count his golf score twice before he has you assassinated.
Oh my God, dude. I heard of This American Life a little while ago. Apparently, Kim Jong-un at a certain point took basically the most famous director in South Korea and the most famous actress in South Korea who used to be married and basically kidnapped them both and forced them to star in, like, North Korean movies.
That's abjectly horrifying. I would really like to see a movie about that, though.
And the director has fond memories of it because his resource, like, he tried to escape at first, but once he started filming, like, his resources were endless. Like, he would ask for something and they just deliver it to him, man.
I'm just imagining the South Korean guy going, well, you know, a lot of stuff in my personal life has gone downhill since the move, but creatively, I've never felt more free.
I mean, I kind of think that's what it is.
After he tried to escape, he realized that it was the best thing that ever happened.
Well, he tried to escape before he was making any movies. And then there was some kind of anniversary or something where, like, he shows up at this dinner that he's forced to go to. And then, like, his ex-wife is there, who's this actress. And so they put them together like they're still married and stuff. And, like, he had already tried to escape a bunch of times at that point. But then they started making movies. And he actually, like, they were plotting to escape together. And eventually they did get out. But, like, he looked back at it with a little bit of sorrow. Because
it was wistful.
It was like having producers that never have a problem with anything.
I really need to see a movie about this story because this is fascinating to me.
Just listen to This American Life.
There's no way the ex-wife was happy about the setup.
No, they said the ex-wife was not happy at all. Like, they wrote a book together.
Oh, my God.
And when they talk about the movies that they made, like, she never mentions anything about the movies. Like, she just completely drops out of the book for those parts. And, like, he is, like, going off verbatim about all this stuff. But I guess, like, one of the movies he did was, like, one of, like, the most influential Asian movie for that time period. Like it and a lot of North Koreans who wound up escaping were like holding tight deals that were in this
I need to find movie. This
it just
book.
Occurred to me while I'm talking to this, I'm basically just like giving a loose ass version
half
of another podcast, so maybe I should stop this.
All I know is I'm glad you brought it up because I need to find that book. I have to read about this. This is the most insane thing I've ever heard of.
Can you read Korean? Because
I mean,
it may be difficult.
There has to be a translation out there somewhere, right? They're doing a disservice to the world if I can't read that shit in English.
I would imagine nowadays you could just do some Google thing.
Honestly, Google Translate. It might be worth it to me to learn Korean to read that book. It might be worth it.
Now that is the ultimate nerd right there. Yeah. That is like, that is no different than a Star Trek fan going like, yeah, I learned to read Klingon so that I can read the novels the way that they're supposed to be read. I want to be able to read them out loud accurately to my child, and they always translate the Klingon. Now I can reverse engineer it so it's right.
Now I can see it as it was intended.
Go ahead. I was going to say, what do you think they're doing with the new Star Trek movie? Because I know Abrams is out.
Well, we know Simon Pegg is writing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we know that Idris Elba is in it alongside the regular cast who's all coming back. We know it has a title that I'm forgetting now. It's similar in structure to Star Trek Into Darkness, though. It's like Star Trek Beyond. It's Star Trek something. And we know that Simon Pegg had to completely rewrite the script because the studio wants it to be more like, they want the franchise to be more like the Avengers. And so they're making him rewrite parts of the script.
More like the Avengers.
I know, right? What a weird comparison.
Yeah. I mean, I know they went in the action direction with these movies, but like more like the Avengers.
I know. I'm not on board with that.
How do you make it more like the Avengers?
Get superheroes involved.
Does Spock like swing a phaser and fly through the air? Like,
if he did, I'd be on board to watch it at least once. I can't promise I'd come back for seconds, but yeah. So
that's weird.
They're working out the script details right now, but I guess Simon Pegg wants to create something a little more aimed at the original series tone. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the studio wants big blockbuster action movie. So
he is the biggest fan of Star Trek too.
Yeah,
probably Star Trek too, but also Star Trek.
Yeah. Right. So that's going to be really interesting. I do think it's cool that he's writing the script, though. That's really neat. Good for you, Simon.
And I will say, like, I don't know how Paramount executives are to please, but I will say there's got to be a way to balance both things.
Yeah.
Because, like, the best Star Trek movies, the two best ones, in my opinion, were, like, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and Star Trek First Contact, which are both, like, very Star Trek tales at the core. I mean, like, you know, it's like some sort of question about humanity at the core, but then you like zoom out and it like it's presented like an action movie.
Yeah.
So it's I think there's a way to strike a balance.
If anyone can find that balance, it's Simon Pegg.
Yeah, I have confidence in him as a writer. He's earned it. Yeah, and he's a great Scotty.
He's a fantastic Scotty. I'm really happy with everyone on that cast.
Yeah, I am too.
I don't think
yeah.
there's a single member of the crew that I don't like the casting of.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job casting that.
I'm happy with it.
Bones was perfect. Brilliant.
Carl Urban's
amazing. I think that
amazing.
Was the best casting they did.
Couldn't agree more. He's far and away my favorite, too. I mean, I just love everything about it.
In terms of beneficial to the series, I'd say Simon Pegg was probably the best, just because he does bring with like that nerd cred to
yeah.
it.
I would say but Chris Pine helps, just, too. He brings a certain cocky swagger that really helps.
Yeah.
And no, he can really great. Deliver in the emotional scenes. Like that scene in the bar with Captain Pike in the Star Trek 2009.
And Kirk is really all about emotion,
it.
Too.
Yeah. And he just kills
yeah.
it.
Yeah. More about emotion than anything, because you need him as like that counter ballast to like mm-hmm. Spock, you know? So I just said like and you know in a Star Trek sense.
Yeah, you did. That's our style. That's we're going like, to dumb you know, everything down.
Stupid.
Yeah. Not for the listeners, for us.
I was just thinking about it because, like, all right, here's the thing. I love the Nerdist. I love listening to the Nerdist. But he had Chris Hardwick had Stephen
Tobolowsky.
Yeah. On it. And there's a certain point where they're talking about some philosophical things. And then Chris is like throwing out every $10 word he could think of. And I'm like, dude, you were trying way too hard right now. Like, I know when you reach into that bag of words, it's not that you have that those words readily available. It's just that you wanted to look impressive. You know what I mean? Like, that's like douchebag 22-year-old Biggs right there.
Oh, yeah.
That, I did that all the time.
And it's one thing to break out one or two of them, but once you're diving back into that bag, it's clear that you have an ulterior motive.
Yeah, there are ways to communicate to not alienate the audience. That's probably a good idea. I'm just saying. You don't have to dumb stuff down. If you honestly use those words, then that's great. Like, go ahead and use them. Totally.
But we have 500 episodes of your podcast saying that you don't. So.
That's right. Only when you have somebody really smart on it. So don't give me this shit. He was just reaching down to like look impressive. And I'm going to keep saying like with every sentence.
You got to play to your, I guess you have to play to whoever you're on the air with, right?
Yeah.
He's got to make them feel comfortable.
I guess. I don't think that's like a move to make somebody comfortable.
I don't think so either.
That's a move to be like, I'm as smart as
you. The move I make to make somebody comfortable is like, hey, I have some leftover chili. Do you want to hang out and watch cartoons for an hour and a half? That's how I make people comfortable.
That's an interesting way to make somebody comfortable.
All my friends are chili based. All my friendships.
Is that why we had the jalapeno chili?
That's right.
Nice.
Wait, I haven't had any chili.
Oh, you did. You just don't remember it. It was a whole thing. It's for the best that you don't know.
It involved.
Is that why my asshole was bleeding?
It involved an ether rag and a wheelbarrow. That's all.
And chili.
Say. And chili.
The chili was implied.
Kind of force fed up orifices. That's right. Multiple orifices. Wow.
So that took a turn, huh? I did not know that's where we were going.
Star Trek?
Yeah, I guess.
This is a flighty 22 minutes we've done so far.
Can you tell that we've brought nothing to the table for this episode?
At all. We saw Kung Fury. We're going to do a review on Box Office Battle. Zach didn't see Kung Fury.
I will have seen it by the time this comes out.
I mean, it's coming out like an hour and a half, probably.
Okay, I won't
it's
have 31 seen it. Minutes. I will have seen it by the time the Box Office Battle comes out.
All right, fair enough. Yeah,
That I can say.
It's a fucking great movie. It's so great. 31 minutes of bliss. I guess that's all I'll say because I don't want to spoil the episode, but I highly recommend it.
It is a live action cartoon.
Kinda.
Don't say there's laser raptors.
There is literally a cartoon scene in it that's done up like G.I. Joe meets anime. It's fuck, really great, yeah. Dude. But I would say it's like a walking action cliche written by a 10-year-old.
You know what it is? It's when you get a 10-year-old playing with their action figures. These are the stories they're telling. When they're fucking around and making their action figures fight each other.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, no kid has a Kung Fury action figure, but I hope anyway.
I hope that there is a kid who has one. Like, that's
already.
If they're making action figures for this, I want it. I want the complete set. I want Kung Fury. I want Kung Fur. I want the Iron Eagle. I want Triceratops. I want Laser Raptors. I want Barbella. Is that how you say it? Barbarella? No, Barbella. I don't know. I want that one too. I want Thor, which is totally doable. Thor's around already.
Yeah, Thor's happened.
But Thor's also a Kung Fury. And he's kind of a cooler version of Thor, I gotta say. I want Hacker Man. Did I say Triceratops?
You did say Triceratops, okay. But it should be said again for emphasis.
I want David Hasselhoff.
You want the car?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Don't hassle the Hoff, man. Don't hassle the
I just want my life so to have silly. Needless celebrity cameos. That's really what I've taken away from that.
Well, you've had Bill Paxton walk into your life.
That wasn't needless. That was a needful celebrity cameo. I need somebody like Jake Busey to pop up in my life.
Oh, my God. Do you really want to enter Busey's into your life?
I mean, does it get more needless than Jake Busey?
No.
That's kind of where I was going.
Oh, did you guys see Screech got convicted?
Yeah, like an hour after he testified.
That's not good.
It's basically he testified, the jury deliberated, came back and like, you guilty as shit and you only made your case worse.
I feel bad.
I don't. The dude seems like a douchebag.
No, he seems like a douche, but there's something about like going, like becoming famous when you're young that just
ruins
you. There's very few people that can handle it.
Yeah.
Apparently, AC Slater is one of those people. Mario Lopez.
Well, that's because he's a shark person.
He never stopped working, though, I think is the key.
And he doesn't have a soul. He just has those black shark-like eyes.
They do look like doll eyes.
He's,
sure. Yeah.
He's just been preserved. I really think he looks like a shark. Like, he has that smooth, rubbery skin that's completely tight. Dude is a shark man.
No, he's reptilian.
He might be reptilian.
He may very well be.
Who else do we think is reptilian? Lark Voorhees has to be reptilian.
No, she's right? On a whole different plane. She is something unto herself. Like, she is wheels within wheels made of fires and eyeballs.
See, I feel like it was a reptilian that didn't take in her body. Like, the body's trying to reject her.
People who are definitely reptilians. Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Did you hear this shit about Bill O'Reilly?
Yeah.
He like grabbed his girlfriend by the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's wife. I think it was his wife. Yeah, because they're in divorce proceedings. Like, grabbed her by the hair and like, I don't know. Let's just say threw her down the stairs. Yeah, I don't remember the specifics.
But it was a whole thing. Guess what, you guys? This just in, Bill O'Reilly's a scumbag.
So, okay. Let's say you're in a room.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you, Zach Lakenbruch, just to keep this fun, are in a room with Bill Cosby and Bill O'Reilly.
Uh-huh.
Okay, there are a flight of steps or a drink from Bill Cosby. Which do you choose?
Okay. If
you got to choose one.
So wait, hang on. What I'm choosing between is I can accept a drink from Bill Cosby or... Bill O'Reilly
throws you down the stairs.
Well, here's the thing. They're both old, brittle men. I'm not particularly frightened of either one of them. And I feel like even if I take the drink from Bill Cosby, I've got at least 10 minutes before things kick in that I could still try to take him down. So, but with Bill O'Reilly, I'm going to keep my senses. I'm going to keep my wits about me for the entirety of the confrontation. So I guess I have to choose the staircase, right?
See, I would choose a staircase, but for different reasons. If you drank Bill Cosby's drink, you might get raped and then thrown down the stairs.
Stairs,
like,
anyway.
You don't know what happens once everything goes
to black. The stairs might get involved anyway.
That's right. But Bill O'Reilly, and like you said, I feel like I could fight off Bill O'Reilly.
I feel like I could beat Bill O'Reilly
in a fight.
I'm not
all
too concerned about it.
I really do.
Oh, he definitely, those guys who are constantly running their mouth, they're all bark and no bite.
Unless you're married to him.
Yeah, well, in that case, yeah, then it's...
Yeah. What would you choose, Brandon?
I think I'm going to have to take the stairs and Bill O'Reilly.
The stairs. We will choose the stairs over the drink 10 out of 10 times.
I mean, here's what we've really learned from this. If this isn't proof that rape is like the most abhorrent crime, three grown men who could kick the shit out of 80-year-old Bill Cosby still won't accept a drink from him. Still won't.
I don't need another 35 women to tell me not to.
I know.
I learned my lesson.
That's right. It only took the first 10 for me to catch wind of what was happening.
Ugh.
God, what a fucking monster that guy is.
Which one?
Both of them. All of them.
Yeah, just saying.
I don't, now that I think about it, I can't think of any person named Bill who hasn't done at least one incredibly fucked up thing.
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray did the man
incredibly abusive to his first wife, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't want to know that.
That's a whole
thing. You ruined my Bill Murray thing. I hate that.
We got Bill Paxton.
Oh, yeah. Say Bill Paxton and Pullman. They're both fine. We got two Bills off the hook. Paxton and Pullman, I'm sorry I forgot about you, but you guys, you're holding it down for all the Bills out there.
Bill Paxton ever lists this, and he's like, hey.
There's no way Bill Paxton remembers me. There's no way. Nor Bill Pullman, for that.
Haven't you talked to him multiple times?
Bill Pullman, I have. Never Bill Paxton, so there's no way he remembers
me. Oh, yeah, I meant Pullman. Sorry.
There's no way Pullman. I mean, maybe he remembers me, but I doubt it.
Yeah. He probably has met a lot of people.
Exactly. He's met a lot of people. And to be quite frank, I don't expect him to have remembered me. That interaction was all for what I got out of it. He's doing fine. He does not need my validation.
Yeah, fair enough. But we're more interested in your interaction.
That's right. We're not recording him, so.
Because I can't talk to Bill Pullman about it, so I got to talk to you about it.
Oh, man, we really just ran out of road here, didn't we?
We're talking about stuff that we swore we'd never talk about on the podcast. I don't know where to go from.
I got nothing left.
I have been watching the season six series of Community Online. The Tuesday will be the finale.
Yep.
So how many episodes are in this?
13.
Okay.
And
so like a cable run.
The 12th episode got really weird really quick. Like, in not a good way.
Oh, no.
There's, like, incest, marriage. Oh, no. Like, it gets really weird, really dark, really quick.
Yahoo Screen, no limitations.
Now run by Bill Cosby.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And Bill O'Reilly.
So I'm really hoping the season finale turns that around, because it got really weird.
I mean, I have to have some hope that the season finale is meant to be a little bit of a palate cleanser in that regard. Because if that's the way they wanted you to leave the season, that would have been the finale. Like, Dan Harmon doesn't take no from anybody.
Although they did a really, like, funny joke with the end of it, because they had a... this guy come on and says, like, I wrote this episode, the incest episode of Community. He's like, and I was spent through the last 3 years pitching this to Dan Harmon. And you show, like, they showed this like writer's room where they're all sitting around a table, and like Dan Harmon's sitting in the table. He's got like this fifth of vodka sitting in front of him. He's like, you can only film this if nobody else is involved with this. You take sole responsibility, and you have to come on at the end of the episode and say you wrote this episode of Community.
So, which characters are incesting?
Garrett and...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is Garrett's wedding, right?
Yeah.
Do you know who the actress who plays Garrett's wife is?
No.
Dan Harmon's real life wife. Yeah, man. That makes it so much worse, right?
You just threw me such a curveball. It's freaking hilarious.
What a fucking show.
Hey, have you been keeping up with...
the Kardashians?
No. But I will
admit, she's pregnant.
That was poor phrasing to look into that. Have you been watching Silicon Valley?
Yeah.
This season?
Yes.
I haven't seen the last episode yet. It is the last one of the season, right?
Not yet, no. I think they've got two left.
So they got a bigger run.
Oh, tonight and then next week, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it almost felt like they're leading up to the last episode.
They're getting there.
So.
They're eight episode seasons.
Have you seen this show, Brandon?
I have not seen
it. It's so good.
So understand when I say this, I'm keeping in mind who you are. This show was made for you. Like, this show was fucking made for you.
You
man.
Will love it.
You would love this show. It's about a bunch of people trying to do a startup internet company. You talk with like a lot of the characters are like coders, or like they do all the nuts and bolts things with computers. But it is so fucking funny. They had an episode a little while ago where what do you call that board that they had?
The SWAT board?
Yeah,
SWAT. The SWAT. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities.
Yeah. So you're supposed to take any idea that you have and SWAT it.
Where you can like SWAT put anything. It up
and you decide whether it's a strength, on the left upper side, a weakness on the right upper side,
opportunity
on the lower left side,
and threats.
Or threats on the lower right side. So after they go and swat some idea that nobody wants to talk about, they're looking to they have this rendering software, right? And so they're going to run this video. And so they get the idea to run it through this energy drink company they're going to live stream this stunt. Yeah, they're going to live stream the stunt. So they're like, this will be a great way to like get people on board with their thing. So the guy who's going to run the stunt, he's like
super stressed out.
First off, this guy, like one of the computer guys is like hitting on this girl and she seems to be flirty back to him. Then they find out that he's like dating the girl and he's all like manhandling her in front of him. Yeah. So then the stunt guy, like, they notice his math on the board is wrong, so he'll crash into the side of a building because he doesn't take into account the velocity.
No, he doesn't take into account the loss of speed because he's using a curved ramp rather than a straight ramp.
Right, that's it. So they go to try and tell him, and he tells them to fuck off because he's trying to prepare. So they're having this real, like, they're having a really difficult time deciding whether to tell him or not. So they swat it out. And so the guy comes over after a couple hours to like talk to him. His name is Blaine. So he's standing in front of the board, not aware of what's behind him.
Let Blaine die? ?
Yeah, like right above his head. And then there are literally hundreds of like sticky notes on the board that's like, It's just all these things, yeah, like I can have sex with Blaine's mom was one of them, like an opportunity that's on there. And every single one is like Blaine dying, like every single one. And he's like standing in front of it as he's like talking to him, apologizing when he realized he did the math wrong.
Yeah, because he had been an asshole to him. So he's giving this long apology and then he turns around and see their board deciding whether or not to let him die.
And all of them are negative.
So it's good.
That's also the show that Zach was talking about where they go through the whole thing of the hand job.
Yeah, the ratios. Greatest dick joke of all time, optimal tipped efficiency.
Yeah, like they decide at one point the best way to do it is like to have two hands jerking off
and
people.
And you have to do it in an angle so you don't waste any strokes. And then
right, so you could do like, you could do four cocks at one time because you're like on the upstroke, you're getting another cock.
And there's a great bit where he's like, wait. We didn't take girth into account. Would that be an effect? And he does the little thing and he like widens his grip as he does the up and down motion. He's like, shit, yeah, it does.
They hired mathematicians
from Stanford and MIT
to make sure that all the formulas worked when they figured this out.
You would love this show, dude.
It's also one of the main characters in it. He's the one in Big Hero 6.
TJ Miller.
Yeah, the stoner guy in it. And man, do you see his gut.
Yeah, you do. It's pronounced and proud.
It's great, dude. It's like he's pregnant the whole time.
Because he's skinny in the shoulders and arms.
And so here's the coup de grace. You ready? It's a Mike Judge show.
Nice.
This is Mike Judge's baby.
And it's super Mike Judge. Incredibly satirical and smarmy. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's like movie Mike Judge.
Yep.
Like that caliber.
All firing on all cylinders Mike Judge.
Yeah. Anyway.
Thanks, HBO. I'm glad we came around to that. That got me genuinely excited.
Yeah. I really love that show. It's hysterical. It's the one that I watch, like, so I don't get to watch it right before we record usually. Mm-hmm. But while I'm waiting for the waves to like render to throw up on the internet, I always watch it now. I love that show,
it's
man.
So great.
I cannot get enough of it.
And it pairs with Veep too. Sunday nights on HBO are Game of Thrones, Veep, Silicon Valley, all in a row.
I still gotta catch up with Veep.
I know.
But I dropped out in the second season because we had like a million shows going on and then I didn't have HBO.
Yeah.
So they're on like the fourth season now, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm pretty far behind. I'm like two episodes into the second season.
It gets so much meaner.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the meanest show on television.
Part of my problem with HBO right now is, like, because I have the on-demand, I, like, have all these things, and yeah. I can't commit to one
and
show.
And watching, like, old documentaries and shit.
Yeah, there's so much on.
So much shit.
I've been trying to catch up with Entourage again because the movie's coming up, and I'm like, maybe I didn't give it, like, a fair enough shake, because I remember getting disgusted with it at a certain point, tuning it out. So I'm trying to catch up so I can watch the movie.
I reached a place with Entourage.
I do like Jeremy Piven a lot, so it's...
I've reached a place with Entourage where I understand now perfectly how I feel about it.
What's that?
First two seasons, incredibly entertaining.
Absolutely incredible.
On board. Love them. Everything after that... If I'm just watching a random episode from season three of that show forward, I probably enjoy myself. If I watch more than two or three in a row, it all falls apart. And it doesn't matter which episodes it is, from the better ones later on to the worst ones, I still enjoy that individual hour or whatever it is of TV.
Half hour, yeah.
Yeah. It feels like an hour sometimes.
Yeah,
it
really, especially when Vin is like the center of it.
Yeah. But I usually enjoy those individual episodes, but watching a bunch of them together, and I just get disgusted with the guys and I'm out. Like, they're just people I don't like hanging out with.
But those first two seasons are impeccable. Like you said, because they do such a great thing of, like, the whole episode, they're fighting for something, and then it never works out the way they want, but somehow they up the stakes, and they manage mm-hmm. to do that every episode for, like, two seasons.
And you can tell they just burned through probably four seasons worth of plot in two.
Yeah. Yeah, they did kind of... It felt like they ran out the arcs
they quickly
on that
quick
show.
They moved quick in those first two
but
seasons.
But it was a great first two seasons. Mm-hmm. The whole thing with Aquaman was really cool.
Yeah. So fun.
Because they were... I mean, it was funny because I remember talking to my girlfriend at the time, and she was like, well, isn't Aquaman, like, actually a character? Like, that? Why don't they pick a bigger one? I'm like, well, they had to do... So this is when it was first airing, right? I was like, well, you know, they had to do a property that won't get turned into a movie. So Aquaman's a pretty safe bet,
yeah.
Which really seemed like a safe bet back
until a decade later when it's like, oh, that's gonna happen.
It might happen. I'm not gonna necessarily put money on it just yet.
They got Khal Drogo on board.
Yeah, so. They gotta get a director before.
Right, but they're also like, he's more aimed towards the Justice League, I think. We'll mm-hmm. see if he gets a movie.
So,
I mean, they've announced a movie for him, and they're actively hiring directors. So at the very
least, know that
they intend to make a movie.
Right, but what I'm saying is I understand that if Marvel announces a movie,
it's gonna happen.
If DC announces a movie, we'll see. We have decades of going down this road, yeah, DC. We'll see. I'll believe it when I see
but
it.
At least they intend to make one for the first time ever.
So
it's a step.
Either today or in the last couple of days, they had a George Miller, bringing it back to Mad Max, had released a bunch of stuff on Twitter from the Justice League movie he was putting together.
Mm-hmm.
And just it was concept art and a lot of stuff that he was. And after watching Mad Max, I am pissed this movie did not come out.
The cast was really interesting,
if
too.
If you want to, like, even out your opinions, go watch Babe, Pig in the City, and then see how you feel about it. I'm just saying, let's even that out a little bit.
But we're talking action George Miller.
We're also not talking about, like, deballed from the studio George Miller. Dude, DC doesn't... They have a short leash on all of their... like superhero properties.
It still looked like a pretty interesting project, though. They're making a documentary about it as well.
Really?
Which, yeah.
That reminds me, that Superman Returns documentary. I think that's out right now.
Yeah, it's out.
Or Superman
right
Lives.
Right. It's limited right now.
But isn't it on demand?
It is on demand, yeah.
So
which is
we
part
have
of the
no
limited.
Chance of getting this at the lawyer, do we?
So the other thing that came out of all this Twitter stuff from George Miller is he is producing a movie right now. It's a documentary of all the Justice League stuff he was tied to throughout the process.
I'm really into that. I mean, the cast is so interesting on its face that I want to see where all this shit was going to go.
Who are some of the names?
Okay, so this is just off the top of my head, so I might not remember everybody.
I mean, I'm not expecting you to do it like you read it off IMDb.
You're going to be pretty impressed, though. I can name a good chunk of them.
Okay.
It was going to be DJ Catrona as Superman. It was going to be Armie Hammer as Batman.
Yep.
I remember.
Adam Brody as the Flash. Common as the Green Lantern. Megan Gale as Wonder Woman.
Let's back Rodrigo. Up for a
okay.
So they were gonna do John Stewart Green Lantern?
Yes.
Oh, that's yep. cool. Yep. Okay.
So Common as Green Lantern, Megan Gale as Wonder Woman, Rodrigo Santoro as Aquaman, and Jay Baruchel as Maxwell Lord. And there were a few others. I know somebody was cast on Wally West, but I can't remember who.
And they had they had a concept art for the Martian Manhunter.
Yes, and I can't remember who was cast as him either. The main five or six plus Maxwell Lord are the castings I can remember. Because I was following that heavy. That came out, I mean, that was being cast and they started pre-production when I was like a sophomore in high school. So I was heavily following that movie.
The two characters I want to see in DC the most, and I know that Wonder Woman's happening. I really want to see Martian Manhunter. I love that character. It's a character people should know more because it's a cool character. I want to see John Stewart Green Lantern. I'm sick of this Hal Jordan shit. I'm sick of it. You have a better character in every way in John Stewart.
They have three better Green Lanterns than Hal Jordan.
No.
I would take Kyle Rayner over Hal Jordan.
I knew you were going to go Kyle Rayner.
Absolutely,
because you knew that's the one I don't
and
like.
I would take Guy Gardner over Hal Jordan. And yeah, I would take Chip the Squirrel over Hal Jordan. I would take a lot of the Green Lanterns. I would take Morog. Yep. I would take all of them over Hal Jordan. He's the most bland, boring, unlikable character. Holy shit.
I really don't like Kyle Rayner, though.
I like Kyle Rayner. I don't like a lot of the shit that happened in the Kyle Rayner series, but that
I'm not holding that against him. I just don't like the character. He reminds me of, like, you know how when we did Real Roulette and The Thin Man, we were always talking about these faceless people who, like, wear berets who are film students who ate baguettes
all
the
time? Is that who Kyle Rayner is to you?
Yeah, that's totally who he is to me. Like, if one of those guys became Green Lantern, that's Kyle Rayner. Am I wrong?
A little bit, but I'm gonna let you believe you're right.
I think you hung in with the Kyle Rayner a little longer than I did.
But I think we're all on the same page that John Stewart's the best Green Lantern.
Yes, far and away. Yep, not even a question.
I'm just saying, between Hal Jordan and Kyle Rayner, I will take Kyle Rayner, not Hal Jordan.
Yeah. It's about time. The DC, you have an opportunity to, like, you know, not white out your whole cast. Maybe you should take it. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, they did cast a brown person as Aquaman, so that's a step.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's not enough.
But as the least liked superhero of all the superheroes, they gave it to a brown guy. Really progressive DC.
I have a feeling.
Hey, we got a black guy playing
early
a criminal.
To be taking shots on
we got that. A black guy playing a criminal in the Suicide Squad. It's not early to take shots.
To be fair,
DC's been around for like 100 years. They've been doing
Aquaman
this
has
shit.
Been plenty super heroic. Just because you didn't read it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
No, I didn't say it's not heroic.
You called him the least super heroic verbatim.
No. The least popular superhero.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Justice League. Yeah.
You should have said popular then.
If I didn't say popular, I apologize. In my head, I did, but I'm more going after DC.
To
for
be fair to the Suicide Squad casting a black guy as a criminal, they also casted multiple white dudes, multiple white ladies, and a couple brown ladies as criminals.
That was
so
in the
they're casting everybody as criminals.
That was in the context of me pretending to be an executive at Warner Brothers, being like, "No, we got a black guy in the Suicide Squad.
We're done now." They got a couple.
Yeah, that criminal guy right there, that Deadshot guy, he's black. You see what I'm saying? I'm just going after DC for being racist. That's all. They got a long storied history of it.
I mean, America has a long storied history.
Not debating it, but right now I'm laser focused. I can't be happy for too long. I'm like a shark. I need to be constantly eating.
That's right. Something has to be your target.
I am the internet. All right. This is probably a good place to kill.
Like the most chaotic acid trip of an episode.
But I think we did find the title of the episode. So
good.
Take it easy. Not safe for network.
So when you get the actual script in your hands, how is it that you memorize everything?
I mean, there's like, you write the first letter of each word.
That's what Robert Downey Jr. does.
Sure, yeah. And that's great for Robert Downey Jr., but
for Robert Downey Jr.
That just gets me so confused.
RDJ.
So RDJ. We won't be seeing you in an Iron Man suit anytime soon.
Well, not on stage. In my off time, maybe. But I don't know what you're doing in my bedroom, so please leave.
That's debatable.
I think the way we argue matters. The more diverse populations we have to argue with, the better. The internet, it gives you a lot of zealotry, and a lot of that insane, you know, 9/11 was an inside job, or the moon landing never happened, or whatever. But, you know, if we could look at the flip side of that, too, you get a whole bunch of information that gets to fly around the world in a heartbeat, and all of a sudden everybody knows the same damn thing.
We had a good life.
Is talking about the Juggalo community on the podcast so publicly as we do,
yeah,
does that set us up as a target in the future, potentially?
It's as much of a threat as a dirty 400-pound topless woman like running at you from a couple hundred yards away can be. You know what I mean?
This is family over here.
Family.
Box office battle.
If you were to take the male lead of your film and put him into a romantic comedy, would I root for him?
I have to say, we have seen this romantic comedy. Liv Tyler is his daughter, and he saves the human race in Armageddon.
Is that a romantic comedy, though?
You know, you had me until you said Armageddon.
Shooting the show.
My parents always stocked up on ramen. They didn't really know how much I ate. And I would actually scrounge up change and go to the store and buy more ramen so it didn't look like I ate as much.
Eric.
That's what alcoholics do. My mom should have never taught me how to make it.
Yeah, you had a problem.
The Alien Movie Project.
The aliens crash a kid's birthday party, basically.
Which, again... I think supports the frat aliens notion. Oh god, where am I? Oh guys, hey, is there anything to drink at this party? You guys,
I'm gonna have some of this cake.
Hey,
if I cut this cake?
Can I open this? Are you gonna wear that hat?
I'm just gonna take some of this cake.
Montucky Skies.
By the way, his character trait is he constantly pulls out stomach acid pills. What do you call it? Like Pepto-Bismol or something? And he just constantly chews the pills every time something comes wrong. He's like, ah.
Yeah.
Just chewing the pain.
Can
pills.
I just say, I
washes
appreciate...
them down with a cup of coffee.
I appreciate the subtlety used by saying his character trait, because we know this is the type of movie where each character gets one trait.
Find all our podcasts on iTunes. Not safe for network.